8 o'clock. Good morning. How you doing? Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. A couple of teams that could have used the Heimlich yesterday. The Avalanche and the Rockies. Avs blow a 3-0 lead against St. Louis. A magnificent hat trick from Nathan MacKinnon. Rockies blow 2 3-run leads to lose to Pittsburgh 10-5. Oh my. Just a rough day if you're a Colorado sports fan, where both the Avalanche and the Rockies have chances for the Rockies to win a series in Pittsburgh, for the Avalanche to clinch a series, to go on to the Western Conference Finals.
Rockies, they were up 4-0 at one point, too.
Yeah.
That's just a 3-run. They blew a 4-run lead, and it's like, hey.
And then blew 2 3-run leads in that game. I mean, early on, they were cruising yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were up 3-0 after 2, 4-0 going to the bottom of the third, and just could not hold it. 6th, 7th, bullpen, hello.
Estevez, Lawrence.
Yeah.
Giving up home runs to legendary Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, we're thinking, you know, these are like...
From the annals of history.
Willie Stargell, right?
Mm-hmm. Barry Bonds, Bobby Bowe.
Roberto
Andy
Clemente.
Mike.
Yeah. Jason
Sid
Bay.
Bream.
No, they gave up home runs to Jack Swinski and Josh Van Meter. Each hit a 3-run bomb yesterday. And then for the Avalanche,
forgotten his name.
You have a 3-0 lead. MacKinnon gets a hat trick. And you still lose in overtime. Oh, it's painful. What's your thoughts about tomorrow night? It's game 6. They got to go to St. Louis. Does the memories of what's happened, the last 3 playoffs, losses in the second round, does that come back to start to invade the psyche of the Avalanche tomorrow night? So text or call us today. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. Also, who are you rooting for at JUCO? Because sometimes people root for, I've got family from a certain part of the country, or I grew up in a certain part of the country and I moved out here and I'm from Illinois, so I'm going to root for Wabash Valley, whatever the case may be. Or you like the nickname. Or it's a team that's been here a lot.
And you got free swag as a kid.
Exactly. Maybe when Cali came here before, when they had Pronk playing for him, and you got a hat, and you go, okay, man, I've always liked the Tigers.
Yep.
And so is there a... And if you say, like today, Jared did a nice job. He texted in because he likes an underdog. That's why he's rooting for Hartford. Give us a reason like Jared did of why you're rooting for that team, whether it's from a regional thing or, like I said, got some swag from them when you were a kid.
The team I always loved was Galveston.
Yeah, the Whitecaps.
Yeah, the shadow infield or the ghost infield where they didn't use a baseball.
They whip it around and there was no baseball.
That was
Jose
really
Rosado
cool.
Went on a pitch for the Royals.
Yep. They were my team when I was 10, 11, somewhere around there. Could not stand Yavapai because my mom loved them. Just couldn't stand
them. I'd say for me, it's probably Middle Georgia. And we're going to get Jerry Schlegel on, by the way, tomorrow. Because some of the members of the 82 National Championship team are going to come to town for a reunion. So Jerry Schlegel is going to join us tomorrow on the show before he catches his flight out here. Probably Middle Georgia. Triton, when they had Kirby. Mm-hmm. That's when I was in high school. But probably a lot of Middle Georgia back in the day.
Georgia.
With Robert Sapp.
Mid-90s when they came here.
Yep.
Seminole, Oklahoma.
Yeah. I think who else prior to that, like my childhood days.
There was a good 6-7 year stretch where I just liked whoever was either beating the team my mom was cheering for or Sanjak. So it'd be, you know, Galveston, Cowley, Grayson, you know, those type teams.
Right.
And then we got into it to where we don't really cheer one way or another. So then it's, I kind of stopped pulling for specific teams.
Yeah.
Now I kind of pull for dudes, right? Like good dudes. Jeff Johnson, Mitch Thompson. They're all really good dudes, but some right. of these guys that have been here and been here and been here, it's, you know, the Thursday, Friday before Memorial Day, we're out talking to the same guys. You are really happy that those guys ultimately pick up a trophy.
Right, and for me, it's like, I like that guy, but I also like that guy. And so right. I win either way, or at least I feel like, because I like both coaches. They're good guys. And so there's no real rooting for, we don't root.
No.
We don't do that. That's not what we do. But you get to know people over the years. You develop a connection with them, a friendship on a certain level, and you want them to do well. But then again, there's so many guys like that. They end mm-hmm. up playing each other that you're going, hey, he lost, but, you know, like Mark Raritan lost to Jeff Johnson, but like both those guys a lot.
Right.
And I'm happy for Jeff that he gets to move on and play for a championship, or whatever the circumstances might be.
My favorite guy to not win one, Adam Thomas.
Yeah, good dude. Super
Such
good guy.
A character. That guy was great. And right behind him is David Shelton.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, he's talking, old Big Head over there. I love baseball.
Hello, old Big Head.
Old Big Head.
And we brought up broadcast, and somebody was like, you shouldn't say
that's
that.
Offensive.
It's like, well, no,
like, he calls him that.
That's what his coach calls him, and he's okay, he answers to that, and he's okay with that.
That's mean. Well, that's not our fault.
That's what they call him.
They call him Old Big Head.
Old Big Head. Old Big Head over there. I'll never forget that. It just cracked me up.
It's just so nonchalant, too.
It's like his name was Jerry.
Right.
Yeah. Hey.
It's like, oh, that's old Bob over there. Old Big Head.
Old Big Head. He's got his own zip code.
Yeah.
So big. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm with you. And David Shelton, of course, his team's the number one seed in the tournament and number one team in the nation coming in.
And their numbers are nuts.
You know, for Tom Arrington, that has come so close so many times.
Yeah.
For Tom to get his and get that elusive sixth one for San Jacinto.
All the guys down at San Jack. Corey Kohler.
Yeah.
Woody Williams.
Yep, Woody.
So former big leaguer.
Yep. And so those guys, you hope they have that opportunity, mm-hmm. which is, you know, they have pursued doggedly year after year, and we're going to talk with Tom coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, that you develop relationships, and though it's about players that you go, man, I really like the way that guy plays.
Mm-hmm.
I really, you know, I really like him for this reason. Great glove,
yeah.
Just, you know, pesky on the bases. You know, just seems to play the game the right way, and all those things that
you find out. Like, there's great names or great hair, right? You find him in the turn. You're like, that's great. That dude needs to play on Friday. 10,000 people looking at that guy's flow. He needs.
You know, that
he
guy
needs
to be out there. Exactly. Needs to be out there. All right, so it's 8:08, and coming up, like I said, 9 o'clock hour. San Jacinto coach Tom Arrington will join us in the program. They get McLennan on Saturday night over at Sam Saplesio Field. Also coming up, we'll bring back the conversation we have with Chris Hanks about winning the. They're part of the South Central Region and now moving on to the Super Regional at Angelo. So we'll have that conversation with Chris coming up here after a bit as well. Text or call the show today, 970-242-1340. And a matter of fact, we'll have Chris Hanks coming up at about 8:20 this morning with that interview. Let's talk a little Broncos football. Broncos had the day off yesterday at OTAs. They're back at it today to wrap things up as far as OTAs this week. Russell Wilson, we've heard from him.
You could hear the fluttering hearts.
Yeah, that's right.
Go Bronx.
That's all I'm going to say. No, he says let's right. He doesn't say go Bronx. If you're not going to be somewhat accurate, okay, then don't say anything. It's
Russell
let's
Wilson somewhat it's, accurate if you're on Twitter.
It's let's ride.
Oh, okay? Man.
It's not go Bronx. What? You got something on Twitter that you have a beef with?
No.
Danger Russ about or what?
There was a slow-mo video of the angle was like Russ throwing it right at the camera, and it just zips right into a receiver's hand, and you could just hear the. Oh. It was kind
You've
of
seen our quarterbacks the last few years, right?
Yeah, Don't talk to me about quarterback.
Can you? We would have killed at one point for Baker Mayfield. Okay, so
you
stop.
You still have him if you want.
Nope, we're good. Thank you. We are good.
Fielding all calls.
Pre-Russ? Yeah. Would have said, sure. What's it going to take to get him to Denver?
Andrew Berry's ringer's always on. If you want to call.
I think that ship has sailed. Thank you very much. So, Russell Wilson loved what he was able to take the offense to run Monday when they spent a lot of time working on the red zone. Quote, there were touchdowns all over the field. That's what I think. And the answer, how he likes the new offense. He took a lot of time to point at Greg Dulcich, the rookie out of UCLA. And that, you know, that he...
Big perm.
The big perm. Big head for Walter State to get big perm for the Broncos. That really likes what he sees from the rookie tight end. Knows that Javonte Williams is a world-class running back. And that Melvin Gordon has a knack for getting in the end zone. The energy of what we're doing is really spectacular. And he said, obviously, a lot of nice things about the receivers as well. I'm glad Russ is positive. Because it's nice to have a positive figure in the locker room. There are times, though, this is where...
You're kind of already getting tired of
Broncos country. Okay? Because you know I'm one of you.
Yeah.
There are times like, Russ, could you just dial that back a little
bit? You're like, dude, come on.
Come on.
It's May.
Is Javonte Williams a world-class running back? I don't know. He's in his second year. He's really good.
Statistically,
I like Pookie.
He's the second best running back on his team.
Yeah, so I love Pookie, but let's settle it. We use phrases like world-class.
You got a little bit of that calm down, Russ, in you, don't you?
I get it. You're excited to be out of Seattle.
Yep.
Right? I understand that. And I'm thrilled to have him in Denver. But there are times I just want to say... Let's take down,
wait, bro. That's not even the best running back you've had.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, Marshawn Lynch, not too bad.
Not bad.
Let's dial back the hyperbole just a little bit, maybe just a touch.
Yeah. Oh man, that Greg Dulcich. Really?
I like a lot of things about him. Yeah. I think he's impressive. That's fine.
Good hands, great hair.
But like I've said before, though, I'd rather him be that way.
That's true.
Then the surly turd that Joe Flacco was. Right? I mean, come on. Flacco is a surly turd.
Yeah.
He's just a surly turd. He's just that. That's just who he is.
And it's different shades of confidence, right? It's different shades of, you know, the self-confidence that your quarterback has. Because Russ is, yeah, we did great today. Like, everybody's fantastic. We're all going to the Hall of Fame. This is great. And everybody's like, yeah, baby, we got Russ. This is awesome. Drew Locke comes out. It's like, well, I thought I played well enough to win the job. And we're like, you, Rube, come on.
But also with that analysis.
It's comes, your personality.
Comes, it's a personality and comes the track record,
right,
too.
That's what I mean. It's different shades of
yeah.
self-confidence. Russ has earned the right.
He's earned the right. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been
great.
He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Yeah.
Drew Locke. You know, not earning the job. Like, I thought I played well enough to earn the job. I played great today. You guys lost by 17. Yeah, but I played great.
But good for you that you play great. But here's the thing, though. Russ says everybody's great, though. He's not really talking about how he's doing. All the comments about what everybody else can do, which I like that. I think that's great. That shows leadership, that you respect the people around you and what they bring to the table. And I think Drew Locke... At times, he did praise the guys around him.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think that he had never gone through anything like this, what he went through in Denver. Not as a high school player in Missouri, not as a quarterback at the University of Missouri. He had not gone through this. And I think there were times like he had to build himself up.
Right.
Yeah, I thought I did okay. I thought I played well. I thought I was pretty good.
He was trying to convince himself, is what it sounded
like. There
was
a lot of self-talk, and sometimes it was public during a press conference, and it's self-talk. I'm good enough, and I'm smart enough, and by golly, people like me.
Yeah.
By golly, I'm good enough to be this team's quarterback.
Drew Locke was Pat, essentially.
He was Pat. You're good enough and you're smart enough. And by golly, people like you. Gosh darn it, people like you.
That's why I always had a mirror with him. I figured it out.
Yeah. And so with Russell Wilson, he's got skins on the wall. He's got trophy on the mantle. The numbers back him up that he can make.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't made any comments like, well, I thought I played great. I did really well at OTAs on Monday. He said the ball flew over the place. We scored a lot of touchdowns. He didn't say, I'm the guy doing all that.
Right. I mean,
I like the fact that he
does. Very little defense on all those touchdowns.
I like the fact he praises everybody.
Yes.
There are times I just wish, world-class running back, let's dial that back a little bit.
Greg Dulcich, he's the permed-up Shannon Sharp. Whoa.
Well, let's wait. Okay, let's give this some time.
Russ.
Give a little time here.
Skip.
Let's just give it a little time.
Yeah.
And to see if he actually develops into that kind of player. I'm excited about what Dulcich brings to this offense.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of Travis Kelce-ish things about him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not ready to say he's the next Travis Kelce.
No.
Because he hasn't even played in a freaking game yet.
Right.
He's running around
in be the first
jersey and shorts. I mean, it's... I just...
Yeah.
But I like the fact... The Wilson is setting a very positive tone.
Right.
Because in an organization the last few years that not a lot of positives been associated with this football team.
He's so far on the right side of the positive, arrogant line, right? At least right now, he's still in the green area of the positive, arrogant, diagram.
Right.
Drew Lock's still hanging out in the red area somewhere.
All right, couple of things.
I don't know why they traded me. I played great.
Come on. Speaking of your boy Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Apparently 4 weeks ago, according to Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio, the Browns and Panthers had talked about a trade with Baker Mayfield. Deal didn't happen because the two teams couldn't come to an agreement on the amount of Mayfield's $18.8 million guaranteed salary that'd be paid by the Browns. Obviously, that's a lot of money if you're the Browns. You're going, we're not idiots. Come on. Well, our judgment should be questioned, but when it comes to things financial, they're not idiots. Other areas, they're idiots. But in that area, they're not going to be an idiot.
I appreciate you saying that, but really, they kind of are.
But at least in this one, they weren't being idiots.
That's true.
So the Panthers reportedly want the Browns to, because they wanted to foot most of that bill, the $18.8 million. And the Panthers...
Understandable.
The Panthers then they wanted the Browns to pay $13.14 million. And so Carolina would have had to pay roughly $5 to $6 million.
Right.
So
a two-thirds, one-third, essentially.
So eventually the Panthers, though, because they couldn't get that deal to come together, they drafted Matt Corral. Seems like they're going to ride or die with Sam Darnold and Matt Corral at the quarterback spot. But at least it sounded like that they were in the neighborhood, and in the case, it doesn't indicate here that it sounded like the Browns balked at the 13 to 14 million that they'd have to pay. Because Carolina's price for that wasn't very steep. To bring in a guy that could be your answer at quarterback.
Right. And here's the thing that for the Browns, where you mentioned that they're not idiots, but
well,
the longer they hold on to Baker Mayfield, their dunce cap's aplenty.
Let me narrow that too. In this issue, they were not idiots.
Right. But what I'm
I'm
saying is, though, at some point, your return or what you have to pay, the longer you hold on to Baker Mayfield, you're not going to now have somebody come up and be like, you know what? We'll take on all of that. Or two-thirds of that, or
it's taking
half
too
of
long
that.
Because two teams now don't there's no demand for him right now,
because no one else wants to pay that much of his contract, and they're not going to offer to pay, and you're going to be stuck, and then you're going to end up having to pay the whole amount. At some point, you're going to have to just take what you can get,
or just flat out release him and
eat the cap hit
and just eat it.
And at that point, you're not going to get anything for him. And so you've already lost the deal. Oh, we don't want to pay that much of his contract for him to play for somebody else. Sometimes that's too bad. you cannot have him walk through the doors of Berea in July. You cannot have that because...
And he's not going to.
He's not going to. He should, though. If he's on, yeah. If he's part of this team, I walk into that building. I'm not a jerk. I'm there.
I'm here to play.
Smile on my face. I'm ready to play.
But that's not make Mayfield.
Make them do something with you.
Right.
Make the team be the bad guy.
And what happens here with the investigation now getting close to wrapping up on Deshaun Watson? What if the individual who's brought in or that's involved in the disciplinary action for the NFL, that disciplinary official decides, this is a 6 or 7 game suspension, that we've deemed it worthy of that.
See, and I was listening
Mayfield gets a chance to really kind of audition for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
A very lengthy audition as his team's starting quarterback.
And he
plays lights out, then people are going, why the hell did you guys get Deshaun Watson then?
Right.
Look how good this guy is.
There's no way the Browns come out of this looking smart.
No.
And the things I've heard is there's still some discovery for the Watson thing, but if they don't have a resolution by the start of camp, they're tabling it till March. So this thing could go on for another 2 years, and Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, I heard him talking yesterday, that at some point there's going to be discipline, right? There has to be by now.
Yeah.
But also the NFL's going to leave it open to maybe add discipline when this all gets wrapped up. And so the Browns are going to be in a bad spot, and they brought in Jacoby Brissett because they feel like he can
hold down the fort.
Reasonable facsimile of Deshaun Watson's abilities. Baker Mayfield's not. He's not that type of quarterback. And I don't know exactly what they're going to do. It's like they could bring him in, have him audition if Deshaun Watson's suspended for 8 to 10 to 12 games or whatever it is. But I don't know what... That doesn't help the situation any.
They're in a bad spot short term.
And they've put themselves in that bad spot.
Yes, they did. They painted themselves into a corner. And they are idiots. I mean, like I said, not eating all that money, that takes them out of idiot territory. But they've part of this, too, is they had to wait so long to see what was going to happen where Watson wanted to go play, right? And that process was not a quick one-week decision, boom. Right. I'm, you know, where I want to go play and those kind of things, and they work out the deal with the Texans. That took a while, and the longer that lasted, and the more that the word got out, the more angry Mayfield was getting, and all of a sudden, the guy that could have held down the fort for you for a while, and also you could have had more trade value from, all of a sudden that's gone because teams are just back going arms folded. We'll just wait till you release him.
Yeah.
Why do we want to trade for him?
Putting a line in the sand of the money you will and won't pay was not a smart decision.
And so now they're at a spot where who knows what's going to happen to Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. May not get suspended at all till next season. May get suspended for who knows how many. Maybe an entire season. Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen, but we know this much. Deshaun Watson's going to come out okay because all of his money's guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
He cannot play a single snap.
Mechanism for taking money away for suspension. And the Browns are paying that. And on that specific instance, I understand why they're standing with their arms crossed. I'm not going to pay $13 million. You're going to have to pay $18 if you don't stop.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if other teams, they're just got their arms crossed saying, we'll wait till you release him.
Right.
Why would we trade and have to pay for a guy that's going to be looking for a team?
You're underwater with a straw, and we're on the beach. We'll just stand here.
And we'll
let you drown.
Yeah, we'll let you drown, and then when the body floats to the surface, we'll pull it in.
We'll run out there and grab it, and then
we'll put him in our uniform, and we'll go from there. One final thing, NFL-related, that Ian Rappaport of NFL Media is indicating that the Raiders are going to give Colin Kaepernick a workout. That, that Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders, said last month that he believes in Kaepernick. He deserves every chance in the world to become a quarterback in the National Football League. I still stand by it. And if our coaches and general manager want to bring him in or want him to be the quarterback on this team, I would welcome him with open arms. Right now they got Derek Carr, Chase Garbers, Nick Mullins, and Jarrett Stidham. And Kaepernick recently said on the I Am Athlete podcast that I know I have to find my way back in. So yeah, if I have to come in as a backup, that's fine. But that's not where I'm staying. I think if you're Kaepernick, this is the opportunity. Mark Davis is a guy that, you know, following his dad Al's footsteps, that will do what he thinks is best for his football team, what he thinks is best for Colin Kaepernick, and that Kaepernick, as opposed to those guys behind Derek Carr, you know, Nick Mullins, former Niner quarterback, has had some moments. Would you take Kaepernick over any of those three guys? At the age that he is, and the fact he has not played in how, what, 4 years now?
Carr, Mullins, and Jared Stidham?
Garbers. Chase Garbers, too.
Probably Garbers and Stidham.
Not Mullins.
Probably not Nick Mullins at this point.
Because he's played.
Because he's played and he's won games in San Francisco.
You know, the irony of that.
But I think the first step for Colin Kaepernick back to the NFL is exactly what he said. I am going to have to come in as a backup. Admitting that is going to be the biggest hurdle for him getting back into the league, I think.
And he says that I want to prove that I'm a starter.
Then go do it.
Then here's your opportunity. You know, we'll see. I think the time away has been extremely damaging to his career.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's self-imposed exile.
Yep, some of it self-imposed. Some of it teams shying away from him. Let's be honest about that. But some of this is him. Let's not act like this is has nothing to do with him. We'll see. He's not going to beat out Derek Carr.
Nope.
It's not going to happen. But this could be the opportunity he's been waiting for to get back in the league.
Marcus Mariota it, though.
He could. And they could utilize him the same way they utilize Marcus Mariota. Now, will little Hoodie be willing to do that? I don't know. But he's a guy that's an innovative offensive mind. Didn't necessarily always see that in Denver, but in New England, we saw optically when they lost Brady, when they had Cam Newton there, the ability to kind of adapt and do different things offensively. Yeah. And maybe you see Kaepernick take on a Marcus Mariota kind of wildcat quarterback-ish kind of role coming in to run the offense at times for Derek Carr. We'll see. But this is the thing that he's wanted. Let's see if he can actually impress the Raiders enough to get back in the league. Otherwise, if you want to keep playing, Colin, XFL's firing up in February. They would probably love to have you there. You know, warts and all, they would love to have him probably in that league. All right, 8:28, we will take a break. We'll come back. Text or call the show, 970-242-1340. We'll have our conversation with Chris Hanks. But right now, it's time to play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is...
All right, up for grabs today is a delicious case of New Belgium, easy for me to say, courtesy of our friends at High Country Beverage. Last night, Nathan MacKinnon had the 12th postseason hat trick in Quebec/Colorado history. He's the fourth player to have multiple playoff hat tricks. It's the second time in team history back-to-back playoff hat tricks have been done. I had the first half of the first set in the 80s. And both my son and I had regular season hat tricks for the franchise as well. The giveaway right there.
All right. Case of New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage today. So must be 21. If you've won the last 2 weeks, set it out. 970-242-1340. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back. Chris Hanks, coach of the Mavericks, as they get ready to take on Angelo State in the Super Regional tomorrow. We'll have that conversation for you next on The Jim Davis Show.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking CMU baseball with Mav skipper Chris Hanks on The Team.
With us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, his team winning their side of the South Central Region bracket, now into the Super Regionals to take on Angelo State. Mavs head coach Chris Hanks. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing good, Jimmy. How about you guys?
Doing fine. You guys are still scoring runs over Bergman, right? You guys are still scoring? Because it's what it felt like on Saturday. Holy smokes. I think in the postseason, have you ever had a team explode the way they did on Saturday against St. Edwards?
I don't think we have. I've been here a while, though, so I could be mistaken, but I don't believe we've ever put up that number in a regional.
Yeah, 28 runs, which wasn't even the most you've scored this season, where you had 32 at New Mexico Highlands. So not even a record for the season, but an incredible job to get out of the gate fast. And Matthew Turner, with his home run, that just kind of got things going from the jump. He has the leadoff home run. And then Jordan Stubbings ends up with the grand slam. He has a couple of home runs on the day, 8 RBIs for you as well. That fast start, that 6-run first, really set the tone for your ball club.
Yeah, it was big. And, you know, Jordan's grand slam, I mean, that was huge. Matt Turner leading it off. But to start off that, basically, if necessary, game, a winner take all. And we wanted to get out of the gates quick. I didn't know that it would end up being that quick. But it was sure nice.
And you said before the game, and I think to me we talked a little bit, and I think it was more after the game when you talked to with Tyler, that you challenged your guys because you had some of your hitters, some of your guys that have had sensational seasons, that, you know, upper half of that order, Hayden McGeary, Spencer Bramwell, that didn't really have the kind of days they wanted in the two games on Friday against St. Edwards, and you kind of challenged your bats, not just those guys in particular, but your offense in general, challenged your bats to go out and be more aggressive and get, you know, and certainly have an opportunity to go out and have a big inning, be smart at the plate, disciplined. Your guys were that as well against St. Edwards pitching, and just a challenge to your ball club that, you know, you're capable of being a better offensive team, and you guys, you certainly saw that from your guys on Saturday.
We did. You know, they really played free and easy. We told them to enjoy it, to just let it rip, and that we told them we need to score double digits. We've been underachieving here, leaving too many runners on. Just knock them in. Just, you know, don't worry about things. Just let it rip. And that's what the guys did.
You made a couple of changes where Julian Boyd started in right. You moved Matthew Turner over to left field. That obviously paid off in a big way as Julian had a multi-hit game for you, played really, really well. And then you started Jonathan Gonzalez at second base. Harrison Rogers has had a great season, but just was really scuffling at the plate. And I thought Jonathan did such a wonderful job at the plate, along with what he did defensively, that you know, that had to be a hard decision for you to send Harrison to the bench. He did get come in and it was a pinch runner and played at the, you know, in the latter innings of that game. But those are the tough decisions you have to make at this time of the year, and that was a decision that really paid off on Saturday.
Yeah, it really did. And actually, as tough of a decision as it was also easy at the same time.
Sure.
Because, you know, I don't know, you do this long enough and you can get trapped into playing the same lineup, the same guys over and over because they're supposed to be the most productive guys, but, you know, every hitter goes through downtimes and slumps, and it just felt like we needed some freshness. And, you know, the thing you notice is you get deep into weekends, the guys that haven't played yet bring a freshness and an energy and a sharpness that can really be a difference maker. And in this case, it certainly played out that way.
Mavs head baseball coach Chris Hanks with us today on the program. Dave Henderson got the start. He had pitched the night before against St. Edwards, Chris, and had a bit of a rough outing coming out of the bullpen. His start was a good one. He allowed the 2 runs and 4 hits. He walked 3, struck out 3, went the 3 innings to start the game as you kind of pieced it together. Went with your bullpen. Cole Seward came on, did a nice job. He ended up getting the win after going 3 innings, allowed 4 runs, 3 of those earned on 7 hits. And then Jacob Rhodes and Austin Lorenz finished off the game for you. But when you have that kind of run support and that kind of cushion, makes it a lot easier when it comes to those guys coming out of the bullpen and being able to go out and feel like there's a comfort level. If they give up a run, it's not the end of the world. There's not that high leverage situation. Those guys didn't face that on Saturday.
No, they didn't. And, you know, we actually had Cannon handy. He was ready to go. He thought he could throw 2 or 3. Blake Rome was ready to go. He thought he could throw two or three. So, and Cooper Vasquez was ready as well. But we started with, the way we did. And had it been a little tighter, we probably would have gone to some of those guys. But what it afforded us was a chance to rest those guys and not put any more miles on them, which was good.
Mavs head coach Chris Hanks with us today on the program. And now, Chris, it's your old friends from Angelo, Texas, the Angelo State Rams. They won their side of the South Central region bracket like you did on your side, knocking off Texas A&M Kingsville to go on. They won 14-2 at Foster Field to advance to the Super Regional. They'll be hosting starting this Friday. And like I said, it's a team that you know well. A team that in 2019 you got through to get to the World Series.
Yeah, we know them well. We played them a lot. We've played down there multiple times. They're a very good team. I've been watching them on video, and they're as good as ever. They're offensive. They're tough to strike out. They put the ball in play. They pitch it pretty well. They play defense well. Obviously, they get to the Super Regional. They're a good team. And they're playing at home. It'll be a real challenge for us. I think in this matchup, we are the underdog. And that's almost refreshing in a way. We talked about it with our guys yesterday is, there's no reason to carry, any stress or press in any way. We're the underdog. They're the number one seed. We're on the road. They were the team that advanced to the World Series last year. They have a lot of those guys back. So, our objective is going to be to go down there and push our chips to the middle of the table and let it hang out and really try to enjoy ourselves and let these kids have a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Rams are the number 6 team in the nation. Mavericks number 17 heading into the Super Regional at Foster Field this weekend. Chris Hanks, head coach of the Mavericks baseball team, with us on the program. And their batting average, .362, as you referenced, Chris, from an offensive standpoint, it's a good ball club. Justin Lee's been outstanding for them this season. He's got 92 hits to lead them this year. He's also hitting a .453 right now. He's got 8 home runs. They're not a big home run hitting team like your ball club is, but it's a team with guys like Justin Lee that are pretty good in terms of being able to drive runs. Big guys that are good at certainly being able to come up with clutch hits and big moments for this ball club.
Yeah, the Lee kid's good, and we know him really well. He went to Coach East Junior College. He wanted to come here. We made the decision to pass on him, and as it turns out, that was a bad move by me. But he was a kid that I think only got like a handful of at-bats last year. He didn't even travel on the he wasn't on their postseason roster, but this year came back for his last year and has just been excellent. As we're talking, they have a good team. We're going to have to play well.
What's your thoughts about their pitching staff? The ERA is a little over 5 right now. What have you seen on film or what have you heard in regard to their pitching staff?
Well, we're familiar with them a little bit. I don't think their staff is as good as last year. They had the big stud last year. He's playing pro baseball. And, so he's gone. Ben Elder, their number one, the lefty, he was their number 2 last year. And then their number 3 is their number 2 now, Aaron Munson. He actually played with our kids out in Kansas summer ball, even with my son, for the Kansas Cannons last summer. And he's a firm throwing righty, not a big guy. But they have a real, real good kid out of the bullpen by the name of Childers. And I thought he was one of the best pitchers at the World Series last year. They started him in that if necessary game last weekend, but he's been a guy they use every single game out of the bullpen, and he's tough.
Mavs baseball coach Chris Hanks with us today as the Mavericks get ready to take on Angelo State in the Super Regional in Angelo, Texas. And Chris, as far as your club goes from a pitching standpoint, Cannon Handy, I would assume Ryan Day in the second game of that. How do you approach it in terms of your bullpen? Cooper Vasquez, I'm sure, will get some time out of your pen. Likewise for Gage Edwards. But how do you approach your pitching heading into this weekend of the Super Regional and a spot in the World Series and carry at stake?
Well, we're going to obviously start with Cannon Handy game 1. We aren't certain about game 2 yet. We're dealing with I mean, maybe Tyler Day has a little bit of a sore arm. We're monitoring that. And so it's kind of all hands on deck. You know, we might end up having to go with Frankie Fitzgerald game two. But we're still evaluating that. But we will start off with Cannon Handy.
All right, Chris Hanks, coach of the Cover Me Some Mavericks baseball team. They'll open up the Super Regional tomorrow over on 95.7, the Monkey. Pregame at 5:45 for that one from Angelo, Texas. From San Angelo, Texas, they take on Angelo State. Last year, the Mavericks losing 5-2 and 7-6 as Angelo State went on to carry North Carolina for the junior college, for the Division II NCAA Baseball World Series. So once again, tomorrow night, 95.7 the Monkey, pregame at 5:45 for the Mavericks, squaring off against Angelo State. Saturday at 2, and then the IF game is, what, right around 5:30 is what we're looking at?
Yeah, 5:30 is what
it Saturday.
Said
so,
on their site.
And all those games will be on the Monkey, by the way. So go Mavs, and hopefully the Mavs can put themselves back in the Division II World Series. All right, 8:45, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Got four down territory coming up. Do we have a winner yet, by the way?
We do not.
Okay, let's go ahead and do it again for...
All right. So, Nathan McKinnon has the 12th postseason hat trick in Quebec, Colorado history. He is the fourth player to have multiple playoff hat tricks. It's the second time in team history back-to-back playoff hat tricks have been done. I had the front half of the first set of back-to-back hat tricks in the 80s for the Quebec, Colorado franchise, so it's not Gordie Howe. Big Rob. Both my son and I had regular season hat tricks for this franchise as well. And it's the Quebec, Colorado franchise.
All right. So text in your answer right now. 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. Get to more of your text. Also, we will have four down territory. That's on the way. On the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back. It's Jim and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Got four down territory in a moment. Are we still looking for a winner? For who is it today?
No, we are not. We got one.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
First in the door with the correct answer of Peter Stastny, the guru. It's Guru Gary.
It's a guru sighting. We haven't heard from the guru in a while.
We haven't heard from Guru in quite a time, but he got it.
Congratulations to the guru.
Yep.
Very good. A couple texts. One about, well, several about the loss last night for the Avalanche. Timeout call by Blues coach Craig Berube with net pull was crucial. Give them credit. Blues are disciplined. Avs will win the cup guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Smart move by Craig Berube. Great. Paid off for them.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling Billy Husso out of the net. They get the goal, but yeah, I'm not so good on the guaranteed part.
I'm inspired by your optimism.
I as well. All right, time for...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, let's start things out with first down. Yankees have the best record in baseball. Robert likes to remind us of that every day. And so they were beating Baltimore last night. They won 2-0. And for some reason, fans started chanting, "Bleep Trey Young."
Oh, that goes back to the Hawks-Knicks from last year.
But they were playing Baltimore.
Yankees fans are...
I mean, what does that have to... What does that have to do with Trey Young?
Well, the Yankees at that point in the day had not overpaid for a fading star, and so they got bored.
I'm just... Make the connection for me, Yankee fan. What does that have to do with beating Baltimore?
It's Yankees fans. What does it have to do with anything?
I was just really going, you got to be kidding me. That's insane. All right, second down. More Raider news this morning. Mm-hmm. This about their former coach, John Chucky Gruden. Almost went Connor McGehee there for a moment.
Almost.
Gruden is, of course, suing the NFL after alleging that they held onto emails and selectively leaked them with the purpose of forcing Gruden to lose his job as the head coach of the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So, the NFL filed a motion to dismiss the case and a motion to compel arbitration. Nevada Judge Nancy Olive on Wednesday denied both motions. The NFL argued that arbitration is necessary due to Gruden's contract with the Raiders, but the former head coach's legal team countered that Gruden's not bound to his contract since he resigned from the job October 11th. NFL plans to appeal the judge's decision. So this is an early legal victory for John Gruden.
Right.
First victory he's had in quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. The NHL is back on ESPN as we move to third down. And that means now John Buchegras getting back to calling hockey. He's very happy about that. And remember back when ESPN had it the last time with Ray Ferraro and the whole chicken parm?
Right.
John Buchegras had never had chicken parm until he was 34 years old. He had never had it. And they were trying to get him to try it. He's like, well, you know, growing up for me, we never really went to nice restaurants. The McDonald's was fine dining for me. Still is, by the way.
Okay.
He's like, huh, this chicken parm is really good. Now he gets chicken parm in arenas. He shows up to the press box to do games, and teams like Seattle and Carolina and Buffalo have chicken parm ready for him.
Oh, I love chicken parm.
I love me a good
man after my own heart.
Yep. Now, there's was a rain delay. Somehow, in an NBA game the other day. Did you see this? Mavericks and Warriors rain delay in Texas. So while they were doing that, they threw back to an old ESPN segment. Well, not that old, but it was Monday night. Time filler, announcers filling time. Mike Breen, Mark Jackson, and Jeff Van Gundy were talking a little three-on-three between them and the NBA TNT crew of Harlan Stan Van Gundy and Reggie Miller. Mark Jackson said he would take Reggie Miller, and Reg was having none of it. As Reg says, they want all the smoke.
Very good.
So hopefully there's a 3-on-3 coming.
That'd be fun.
The Van Gundys, Mike Breen, Kevin Harlan, and Mark Jackson, Reggie Miller.
I'll take Reg and the boys.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because of Reg, first and foremost. Guy that I've warmed up to, Paul Bissonnette.
Bissonnette, yeah.
I like Bissonnette.
He's really fun.
He's a fun guy. He's a character.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool on the TNT telecast to see King Henry.
Yeah, it was.
Henrik Lundqvist. I thought was really good last night.
He was really, really good. I was surprised.
All right, so that is four down territory. We will take a break. We'll come back. Junior College World Series starts this Saturday over at Saplesio. And here on the team, we'll talk with San Jacinto North head coach Tom Arrington. That's coming up next hour. Plus your thoughts on the Avalanche and the loss last night in overtime to the Blues. The second round departures in the postseason. Let's start to creep into the Avalanche's mind. Your thoughts about that today and who you're rooting for at JUCO as well. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340.